I hope we all have learned how sweet it is when we do trust in Jesus and when we do surrender our lives to Him. You can open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's see if I can get my clicker out of my coat pocket. I was accused last week, not last week, 2 weeks ago, I accidentally took the clicker home with me afterward. And so we were scrambling the next service to try to figure out where in the world the clicker had gone. And so I probably should keep it outside of my coat pocket. It's been a couple of weeks since we were in Proverbs due to the weather last week. I really missed being here last week. I really did. We were down in Hutchinson. Someone had asked Karis and I to come down for a dodgeball tournament and speak to the teens that were there. And so we got to go down to that. And then I was speaking in their service the next Sunday morning. And as we were driving back after church to Manhattan, we noticed there was a lot going on in the air. And we noticed the snow was starting to accumulate on the ground. So I called Pastor and I said, hey, we probably should talk about canceling. He's like, yeah, I think you're right. And so it was a bummer to not be able to have that. But I'm very thankful to be here this week. So we've turned to Proverbs chapter 1. And we've been looking at the first few verses. We've worked on verses 1 through 7. And we're not going to go that slow the rest of the time. We're actually going to start overviewing a lot. Because the book of Proverbs is an interesting book. It's not like other books in the Bible where every single verse is always connected to the previous verse. Oftentimes it is. And today we're going to see verses that are connected to each other. But you get into Proverbs chapter 10 and beyond, and you find a lot of Proverbs that are seemingly where it'll be talking about a soft answer turns away wrath, harsh words stir up anger, and then it'll jump right to, a faithful father disciplines his children, something like that. And it's all sporadic. But today we're going to finish up Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to be talking about just an basic overview of wisdom. And this is just part 1. Because as I was working on this message over the last couple of weeks, I quickly realized we're going to need 2 weeks on this. And I hope even tonight that we will move quickly through some of this so that we can get all that God wants from us. Just by way of review, we were looking at Proverbs 1, verse 7, and we looked in verses 1 through 6 about the purpose of Proverbs. And you see there, I'll just read starting in verse 2 down through verse 6. It gives us a lot of different purposes to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And we walked through those verses to say, okay, what exactly does it mean to know wisdom and to know instruction? What does it mean that the simple will gain subtlety? You know, what is going on there? And that's how the book of Proverbs opens. It opens by telling us, here is the purpose of these proverbs. And then we went to verse number 7, and we said, okay, what is the foundation for wisdom? Because the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point for all wisdom. You read in the New Testament where it talks about God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. This isn't a wisdom that is gained in a secular universities. This isn't something that's gained in a Yale or a Harvard. What we're talking about has to begin with God. This is what true wisdom is. And so this week and next week as well, we are going to get into and we're going to start talking about what is the foundation, not the foundation for wisdom, but what is a general overview of wisdom and everything there. We're going to be taking this in two parts as we do that. Let's go ahead and read down. We're going to start in verse number 8, and we're going to read down to verse number 19. And we're going to deal through verse 33 tonight, but we'll just stop in verse 19 to get the general thrust of these verses. So right after it says, the fear of the Lord, verse number 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Talking about children, be listening to your parents. And this is general from Solomon saying, okay, I'm teaching you like a father would teach. Listen to my words, hearken unto this. This will be ornaments of grace unto you. And then he contrasts that in verse number 10 to talk about, if you're not going to listen to me, then you're going to be listening to sinners. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't listen to this. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They work privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. And we're going to see in those verses is it's talking about the enticement of sin and where that leads a person. It leads to death and to destruction. And then it's contrasted again, verse number 20, all the way down through verse number 33. It's talking about wisdom crying out and what wisdom talks about. And we're going to dive into that as well this evening. But let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in to the rest of Proverbs chapter 1 and even some verses beyond. But let's ask God to help us as we do this. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, thank you that it is accessible to us. Lord, thank you that this isn't something that's hard to search out or hard to figure out. God, you've made it so readily available to us. And I pray that we would be encouraged by that. I pray that we would honor and glorify you with our attention tonight. May you be the focus of my message. Father, I pray that you would guide my words, guide my heart, guide my thoughts. I need your strength in this hour, Father. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So before we get to the verses we just read, we're going to start where we left off in verse number 20. And the first thing that we're going to see tonight is that wisdom is readily accessible. Wisdom is readily accessible. Because you look at verse number 20, and we're going to read these verses now. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And it's interesting, because sometimes, and I've even fallen guilty of this myself, even when coming to the book of Proverbs, because there are a lot of places in Proverbs where it talks about search for wisdom as for hidden treasure. Search for it as if you're trying to find all precious substance. Give every attention to seeking it out. Because the Bible tells us to diligently search after wisdom. We know that. But something that I know I have been guilty of not noticing is that wisdom itself is actually seeking us out as well. Wisdom here is pictured as crying out in the streets, and it's obviously a personification. This isn't literally saying that wisdom is a person. But wisdom is not something, it's not like when you're playing hide and seek and there's a person hiding in a room way in the back of the church and you have to go find it out and you're looking everywhere and it's trying to find the best hiding spot. That's not the illustration of wisdom that's given to us here. It's talking, it's crying without, it's not even as if someone's trapped in a building. Maybe a building's on fire and somebody's trapped in a room and there's all this smoke around and they're calling out, help, help. And you're trying to find them. You can hear them. But that's a little closer to what wisdom is doing. But you look at these words in verses 20 through 23. You see verse 20, wisdom crieth out. She's calling to people. But then look where she's calling. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, the busy places in the city, the place where everybody is coming together. She's in the openings of the gates where people are walking into the city. She uttereth her words in the openings of the gates in the city. And then she cries out to all of them. And then you look all the way down to the verse 23, the middle of verse 23, when she says, turn you at my reproof. And then it said, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God is not trying to keep wisdom hidden from us. It's readily accessible. It's in every place. And I'm trying to think of an illustration. I remembered for the back-to-school bash, we did a Facebook ad. And we've even done this at different times as well. And what that does is as people are on Facebook, this might be an invasion of privacy, I don't know. They're going, oh, this person's in Manhattan and they're on Facebook. We'll let them know about the back-to-school bash. and it pops up in people's place. They're like, I just got on Facebook to scroll through and to look what everybody's doing. Back to school bash. Come to Faith Baptist Church. It's back to school bash. And you see all these different things that pop up in front of you. That's kind of what wisdom is doing. You're just going along the path. And this is what the Bible pictures it as. We're going to talk about some of the ways this happens. But the Bible pictures it as someone's just walking into the city and there's wisdom crying at them, saying, hear wisdom, hear instruction. They're going to the place, to the bank, you could say. They didn't have banks back then, but they're going to the police, the chief place of concourse, where they're all talking, they're trading, it's the market. And it says wisdom is there crying out. Wisdom's crying out everywhere saying, listen to me, I am here. And we'll see why people reject it. But even Psalm 19, we think we read this morning in the opening of our service. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night tells forth knowledge. It reveals knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth. The fact that God is there, that's not a mystery. God has readily made Himself known all over the place. The problem is, as we'll see, is that we don't always want to notice it. Wisdom is there. Wisdom is crying out. And so this could come in different forms. I mean, obviously, we get God's wisdom through the Bible. We're going to talk more about that in a second. We have our Bibles readily accessible to us. If you're friends on Facebook with Christians, you'll see Bible verses popping up. That's wisdom calling out to you. That's wisdom saying, listen to me, hear me, heed God's wisdom. For some people, it could be a knock on their door. Some of us, when we go out on visitation, that's a confrontation with them of wisdom from God. Saying, hey, here's what God says about your life. How can we be an encouragement to you in that? It could be the godly advice of a friend or you coming to church. Wisdom is everywhere. And it's important for us to realize it's not something that is so hard to figure out, so hard to grasp, because sometimes we make it so big of an issue that we think it's some mystical, hard to explain, hard to find idea. But right here at the start of Proverbs, in verses 20 through 23, it's saying, no, wisdom is everywhere. Wisdom is calling out. It's saying, I am readily accessible to you. And so that's important for us to establish here at the start. I want you to turn over to chapter 2. For me, I don't have to turn there. It's just at the bottom of my page. But we're also going to see, not only is wisdom readily accessible, wisdom is given by God. And this is very similar to what we looked at 2 weeks ago when we talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But this even goes beyond that. Because that just says the fear of the Lord is the start. It's the starting place for knowledge. But then look at chapter 2, verse 2. Actually, I'm sorry, move down to verse 6. This is very clear. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. And so wisdom doesn't just start with a fear of the Lord. That is the foundation. Someone who is not saved, someone who is not in a right relationship with God, has no access to biblical heavenly wisdom, to true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the foundation. But God is also in and throughout the whole process of gaining wisdom. He's not just the start. The Bible in a different context says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. It would like be saying, God is A and God is Z. Funny side note, Amazon, that's why they have that arrow there. They have everything from A to Z. I had to have someone else point that out to me. But that's what Amazon is saying. They say, we literally have everything from A to Z. And God is saying, wisdom starts with me. I'm there in the middle. I'm there at the end. Wisdom is given by God. And so going back to, okay, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom's readily accessible. Wisdom comes out of God's mouth. The book of Proverbs is not the only place we get wisdom. Wisdom is all throughout the Bible. The book of Proverbs is dedicated to wisdom, you could say. Some people put Some people in a commentary I read this week said Proverbs is like Christianity in overalls, was the term that they used. It's just down to earth, really plain. I'm going to tell it to you straight. Here's really practical ways to live. And that's why we entitle our series Practical Wisdom for Everyday Living, because that's what this book is about. But wisdom is not just in the book of Proverbs. It's all throughout the Scripture. You can see in verse 6, it says, "The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And many people, rightly so, draw attention there to say, you know what, when the Bible says that it is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, that matches right up with this verse where it says, out of God's mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so as we're looking for wisdom, it's not something that's separate from really just living a Christian life. Wisdom is taking knowledge and applying it to your Christian life so that you can live righteously. And that's why you'll find all throughout Proverbs, righteousness and the wise person and a righteous person and wisdom, they're all used interchangeably. Wisdom is not separated from godly living. Wisdom is godly living. And so when you turn to other places in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "Here, this is love. Love suffers long, love is kind." That's wisdom you're getting right there. Wisdom is not separated from just basic Christian knowledge that we're trying to gain through the Bible. And so I don't want us to overcomplicate this subject of wisdom. It's readily accessible to us, and wisdom is given by God. Really, wisdom is just living the Christian life as God wants us to. And that's why it comes from God, because we read about it through His Word. So it's readily accessible. Wisdom is given by God, but we must respond to this wisdom. And this is my final point, and I know that I have not preached long, but this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. Because we're going to look this week, and actually next week, we're going to be on this point as well. And we're going to be looking at, okay, what are the ways we can positively respond to wisdom? What are the ways that we can negatively respond to wisdom? Because as we read down through verses 10 through 19, we saw that there's the enticement of sin going on there. And we'll get into the rest of the passage, the rest of chapter 1, where it's talking about wisdom is calling out, but there are people that reject that call of wisdom. And we're just going to overview it. This is going to come up again and again throughout the rest of Proverbs with the really practical things. But we're going to talk the rest of tonight about the ways that we can reject wisdom in our lives. So, letter A. There it is. Rejecting wisdom. The ways that we can do that in our lives. Because people will either reject wisdom or they're going to heed wisdom. And don't write B down right now. We're going to get to letter B next Sunday. We're actually going to spend a whole message on what it means to heed wisdom. But we're going to start tonight with how we can reject wisdom. All right, let me make sure we're where we need to be. And we're going to start in verses 10 through 19, which we read at the start, so we won't take the time to read it all now. But right after, Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, hear the instruction of your mother. This is what wisdom is." In verse number 10, he contrasts that immediately with this: "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And so the first thing that we see here is one way we can reject wisdom. One of the greatest enemies to wisdom is enticement by sin. Or as we were pointing out, wisdom equals righteousness. So sin, that's foolishness we see in the Bible. When you're living foolishly, you're going to be giving in to sin. And sin and foolishness, it's actually very enticing. The word that it uses there in verse number 10, when it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee," that has the idea of deceitfully persuading or alluring somebody. It's actually used in the book of Judges when Delilah lured Samson and trapped him and cut off his hair. She enticed him into that. You know, she kept coming in and saying, "You don't love me. Tell me what your secret is. I'm not going to do anything." And Samson fell for that trap, and Samson completely ruined what God had given him with this strength. And so sin, that's what Solomon is saying here. Sinners will entice you. And we need to make sure that we're not consenting to that. In chapter 9, verses 13 through 18, it talks about how a foolish woman, it kind of contrasts, okay, here's the cry of wisdom, which we looked at in verses 20 through 23, and then you get over to chapter 9, and it says, okay, here's the cry of foolishness. And she's crying out to the simple, and it says, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But the simple knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And so what foolishness does is it says, hey, you're going to like this. You're going to love this. Look at all this reward that I'm going to give you. This will give you this instant satisfaction, instant gratification. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we face enticement by sin every single day of our lives. There is actually one man. Oh, sorry, I meant to put that up earlier. So enticement by sin and foolishness. There is one man that said, anyone who finds no opposition from sin and does not take every opportunity to mortify it, you're actually at peace with sin. And you're not dying to sin. You think about wars. You think about people in the Ukraine. How foolish it would be for somebody in the Ukraine to say, oh, we're not at war with Russia. I love Russia. Well, then you're going to get conquered if that's your response to the invasion that's going on there. Because sin, we are at war with sin. We're told many times throughout the Bible. That war is going on whether we admit it or not. And if we don't recognize that, if we don't see the enticement of sin, that quote that I just showed, he's saying, you've already given in to sin. If you're not aware that you are in a war, then sin's already won the battle. And that's sobering for me, because how often do I go through a day and there are many hours that pass and I haven't consciously realized, oh, you know what, that's a wrong thought. I need to put that away. Oh, you know what, I'm being tempted to go this through. I need to put that away. Sin is going to entice us whether or not we're ready for that. And if we give in to that enticement, we're rejecting wisdom. We're not placing ourselves at an opportunity to accept that wisdom that God is giving to us. So, ways that we can reject wisdom. Well, if we're enticed by sin and foolishness, then we are rejecting wisdom. Secondly, another way that we can reject wisdom is simply being content with our current state. And if you look over to verse number 22, this is during the call of wisdom. Wisdom is calling, and she asks, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. In that first place where it says, how long, simple people, are you just going to love being simple? Well, we talked a few weeks ago about the simple person, that's really the naive person. You could say the ignorant person. The person that just isn't knowledgeable, they don't have wisdom. They're not necessarily antagonistic to wisdom. They're not necessarily a fool. They just don't have it yet. And the call of wisdom goes out and he says, you simple people, you're just loving being simple. I actually looked up where the original quote, ignorance is bliss, came from. And I'm not exactly sure if the person, Thomas Gray, was a poet, and he did know it. But he was a poet, and he wrote this poem. And really, it's about childhood. And he's saying children are going to grow up and they're going to realize there are a lot of pressures in life. And he says, so you know what? Let's just not tell them about those pressures and then they'll just die and they'll be ignorant. And it wasn't quite that dark, I promise. But he was basically saying, you know, it's kind of nice when you're a child and you don't understand the hard things that are going on. Ignorance is bliss. Well, there are a lot of people that adapt that mindset all the way through their lives. Out of sight, out of mind. You know what? I'm just not going to worry about that. I'm not even going to start down that path. Some simple people or naive people, they just love being simple. And wisdom says, if you're going to love being simple, then you're not going to listen to my rebuke. You're not going to listen to my teaching. But then, in verse 22, again, if you look down there, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? You're just completely content with where you are at. It says, and scorners, how long will you delight in their scorning? And the scorner, and we'll see this more as we get more into Proverbs, but a scorner is just someone who mocks and laughs at wisdom. And so you could say another person that is not right in receiving wisdom, they just laugh at wisdom. And sometimes this happens. I remember being a camper at the wilds where I grew up. I would go to a week of camp in the summers. And there was a guy in my cabin. We had lights out every night. And around 11:20 or so, someone would come around and say, well, they would give us 10 minutes grace. And if you weren't in bed in 10 minutes, and somebody would come around with a flashlight and say, hey, you guys need to settle down and go to bed. You have an early morning tomorrow. Well, and I remember this happening. And the guy comes and he says, okay, guys, you need to calm down. You need to settle down. You need to go to bed. And right after that guy left, one of my cabin mates flipped the lights back on. I was like, oh, you guys need to go to bed. Oh, what a... And he was just mocking the guy. And again, the guy probably could have been a little more gracious, to be honest, in how he had said things. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, that's actually kind of what a scorner does. Where someone's saying, hey, here's what you need to be doing in their life, and they just mock at it. One verse in Proverbs 9, verse 7, says that he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And that's the idea. You go to talk to somebody and they just mock you. They say, I'm laughing at that. That's laughable. I can't believe you would tell me to do that. God, I can't believe that you would ask me to do that. That's laughable. I'm just going to laugh that off. And I hope that's not anybody's response to wisdom in here, because that's a pretty harsh response to wisdom. But it still is pointed out in these verses, so we need to address it. In that verse number 22 again, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And there are some people, and these people are called fools, they just hate knowledge. They have a hatred for it. They read an instruction in the Bible and they say, God, I can't believe you would tell me to do that. I'm just throwing that away. It's not like they laugh it off or they make excuses for it. They just read it and they say, Lord, I don't like that. Sorry, I'm not going to live that way. It's like, I think it was Benjamin Franklin that took the Bible and he literally cut stuff out of it. All the miracles and everything like that. And Ben Franklin, he was a great American patriot and everything like that. I think it is Benjamin Franklin, am I right? Jefferson? Okay, thank you. Thomas Jefferson. I'm glad I checked that. People are probably going to... Don't listen, girls. I'm ruining history. Thomas Jefferson. He took... And he's basically saying, you know what? I believe in God, but I don't like all this stuff about miracles. There's no way that could have happened. Or you get to the kings, and you read about this one king that as the law is being read, he cuts it up and just throws it in the fire. He says, I hate that. I'm not going to live that way. I don't want that dictating my life. And can I say, if you're a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian and that's your heart towards God, you need to get right with God very quickly. And you also need to make sure that there actually is something in your life that has changed in salvation. Because as sinful as I can be at times, there are very rarely times where I just say, God, I hate that. I'm not going to do it. Sometimes we give into our lusts of the flesh and everything like that. But if you just have an outright hatred for God and His wisdom, then make sure you are right with God in the first place as far as your salvation. But as Christians, we can even get to that state where we're so distant from God and we've allowed ourselves to be enticed by sin. We've laughed at sin. We've loved our simplicity. And as Christians, we can get to that state, but get out of that as soon as possible. You're not right with God. And so those that have a hatred for knowledge, they're rejecting it. But there are some people that they just forget it. You can have a forgetfulness of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse number 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You look down to verse number 3. Don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Then you look down to verse 21. He says, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. It's the idea of you're throwing a rope around it. You're binding it to yourself so that it won't leave you. Because if we're not being active in our Christian life to constantly be renewing our mind, our flesh will take over and that wisdom that we've gained will start to leave us. We won't be thinking straight. We won't be thinking clearly. And so it's not just the people that are antagonistic to wisdom that are rejecting wisdom. We have to be careful too that we're not just letting it slip away. If we're not being intentional in our Christian lives. Remember that the guy that said, if we're not constantly battling sin, then sin is winning the fight. Well, if we're not constantly renewing our minds with wisdom, then wisdom is escaping from our minds. We're forgetting it. And that's why there, in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse number 3, he says, don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You think about Moses with the Ten Commandments, and these were literally etched in stone by the finger of God. That's what we need to do with wisdom. We need to etch it in so that it will never leave us. And that's something that has to be done intentionally. We need to make sure that we do not forget wisdom. You might not be giving in to enticement of sin. You might not be just content with your current state of knowledge, like the simple person that just, you know what, I don't care if I know it, I don't care if I don't. I hope as Christians we know that's not right. But I think this one for us as Christians can be a huge one. Because sometimes we're like, you know what, if I don't read my Bible today, that's okay. Or you know what, if I'm not memorizing Scripture, I can do better at memorizing Scripture. I was convicted just when I said that. I'll admit that right now. If we're not memorizing Scripture, though, the knowledge and wisdom and truth, it can leave our minds so quickly. I told a joke about the shot that went in one ear and out the other. You know, pastors, when they preach, the message one ear and out the other. That's forgetting wisdom. It's not something that we always have the first time we hear it. That's why people say repetition is the mother of learning. That's why a good teacher will repeat things over and over again to really nail it into the student. That's what we need as Christians. We need to make sure that we're not forgetting wisdom. That's a way that we can reject wisdom. That's a way that we will suffer if we don't constantly renew our minds. We also see that there's pride in our own wisdom. Stay there in chapter 3. I'm going to read some very, very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord. This is verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You see, one of the greatest combatants to gaining wisdom in our lives is for me to say, you know what? Nathan, you've got it together. You know what you're doing. Don't take time to pray about it. Don't take time to consult God's word. You know what you're doing. Just go for it. That's me being wise in my own eyes. There's actually a place right after they conquer Jericho. You've heard this story with the children of Israel. They go and Joshua says, you know what? We've just conquered Jericho. God is with us. We're doing great things. And then they go to this other city that should have been easy for them to conquer. They don't talk to the Lord beforehand, and Israel gets overrun. And then after they get destroyed, Joshua says, Lord, what's going on? And God said, there's sin in the camp. You need to get that taken care of. Joshua didn't know about that, but if he would have asked the Lord and said, Lord, should we go conquer this city? God, should we do this? God would say, no, problem first. We need to constantly be checking our own wisdom. My mind is not trustworthy. Your mind is not trustworthy. The human mind is not trustworthy. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I had a man that I was trying to witness to one time tell me again and again, Nathan, you just need to listen to your heart. What's your heart telling you? And I looked at him and I said, as kind as I can say that, I should not be listening to my heart. And I shared that verse with him. And so as Christians, as a person, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Because pride in our own wisdom, being wise and leaning on our own understanding, that's going to mess us up so badly. And parents, can I just say this as well? Those of you that are parents, we have the plumbers here and some other parents as well. I won't take time to name all the different parents. Technically, I'm a parent, and that's wonderful. But for those of us that are parents, as we're thinking through rules for our children, standards and rules are great. You need those in the home, absolutely. But having just come through a Christian university, There are so many kids whose parents had really good rules and standards in their home. But those rules and standards there, the parents themselves didn't know why those rules and standards were there. You know what that does to a child? They grow up and they say, you know what? That was just my parents coming up with their own rules and their own standards. I'm going to turn my back on that and I'm going to just do whatever I want and what I think is best. And that's why we constantly need to know, why am I doing this? Why do we do what we do here at church? Why do we not do what we don't do at church? And that absolutely plays into the home. And I'm sure my grandfather will talk about that next week. But we need to know why. Have standards, have rules, have regulations. You don't always have to give all of the whys, but we need to know why we do what we do. Rather than just saying, you know what, I think this is right, I think this is best. Well, great. And if your mind has been biblically informed, you're probably right. But go double check it. Go make sure. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Because if we're living after what we think is best, then we're rejecting wisdom in our lives. We're rejecting God talking into our lives. There's a quote that actually, when I saw it, I came across it a couple months ago. I actually wrote it out on a sticky note and put it there in my office, where it says that the humble person is the wise person. The person that is willing to receive correction and instruction, that's the wisest person of them all. Because a person that is not willing to be told that they're wrong, they're not going to be wise. We can always grow in wisdom. Remember Proverbs 1 and verse number 5. A wise man will hear and he will increase in learning. Even a wise man can continue to increase and increase and increase. We're never at a point in our lives where we can trust our own judgment. We constantly need to be renewing our mind and not be prideful in our own wisdom. So those are some ways that we can reject wisdom. Really quickly, I want to finish with just talking about these curses that are given for when we do reject wisdom. Because you get down to verse number 24 of Proverbs chapter 1. We're back in Proverbs chapter 1 here. And wisdom says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand. Again, you can see wisdom calling. It's stretching out its hand. It's saying, I'm here for you. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Verse 26 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. And we'll get into verse 28 in a second. But looking just at verses 26 and 27, it says that there is going to be a time when these things come into the lives of those people that are constantly refusing wisdom and rejecting it in their lives through any of the ways that we just mentioned. It mentions in verses 26 and 27, there's future calamity and fear. How many times as Christians have we given into the enticement of sin and found ourselves in calamity and destruction and all sorts of consequences for our sin? That happens when we're not living in wisdom and when we're not facing that. There's that future calamity and fear that is there. You face the consequences for sin for that. But then you look down at verse 28. It says, then they shall call upon me. Talking about when their fear and destruction and everything comes. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And so another consequence for rejecting wisdom is you're removed of an opportunity for wisdom. And obviously this is played out to the full extent when Christ returns on the earth. And people look at him, they see him come back and they say, Lord, save me, I want to be saved. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, your time is up. You've already died. This is the judgment day. I was reading just today in John where Jesus said, I brought peace to the earth. Today is not the judgment day. I've come to bring salvation. But the judgment day is coming. And they're going to be people and they're going to finally see God. And God's going to have to say to them, I'm sorry, you've missed your opportunity to respond to the gospel. I'm sorry, you need to die. You're going to go into hell and be there for utter destruction. Don't miss an opportunity. But even with not salvation terms, salvific terminology is what I was trying to say, not with talking about salvation, there are consequences for sin that we cannot escape if we don't live wise lives. Think about David with Bathsheba. David, a man after God's own heart. Jesus is called the Son of David. I mean, Jesus loves to be associated with David. David, the great king of Israel, the greatest king of all of Israel. All the other kings were compared to David. David fell into adultery. And remember what happened. David eventually did confess, and the Lord said, okay, I forgive you, but David, there are going to be consequences for this. And you can't escape those consequences. The Bible tells us that David prayed on his knees for days upon days, saying, Lord, please don't take this child. Lord, please don't take this child. And that was one prayer that God said, you know what? David, I'm sorry. This is the consequence for your sin. It's too late. This is what you've done in your life. And so there are going to be consequences for us as well if we don't heed wisdom, if we don't pay attention to it, if we're not constantly putting it into our own minds. It's going to come back and bite us, I promise you. It already has in many of our lives in different ways at different times. So let's learn from those mistakes. And let's heed wisdom. And next week we're going to get into talking about, okay, what are the proper responses to wisdom? Sorry that it was all negative tonight. Here are the ways that we can reject wisdom. But it's so important for us to make sure, okay, here's what the wrong attitude is, so when we can then replace that with the right attitude. But before you pack up, I want to just ask some questions for us to evaluate our own lives. And don't feel like you need to copy every one of these down. These are really just going to be walking back through what we've talked about. Because it's important for us to say, am I allowing myself to be enticed by sin right now in my life? Have you allowed yourself to be enticed by sin? And if you have, then that's focus number one for you to right now. To say, Lord, forgive me for being enticed by that sin. I'm going to get this right with you so that I can then get your wisdom. Maybe you've been content with your current state of wisdom. And can I say, there are going to be many of these that you're going to say, oh, you know what, I need to work on that. Maybe focus on one in particular and say, okay, Lord, this is the one that I really need to work on tonight. But have we been content with our current state of wisdom, saying, you know what, I think I'm happy with where I'm at spiritually. Wisdom says, how long, simple people, will you love being simple? Continue to pursue me. As Christians, again, Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will continue to hear and he will continue to increase in learning. Don't be content with where you are. The wisest of people still has things to learn. And if we're content, we're not going to be gaining wisdom. Have you laughed at godly biblical advice recently, where someone has come and tried to help you and you just kind of mock them for that? Maybe it's not directly to their face. It rarely is directly to their face. Usually it's, can you believe what they just told me? Can you believe what they just said to me? Why would I do that? Now, you have to obviously take all advice a person gives you back to the Scripture, but the Bible says in a multitude of counselors there is safety. We need each other. We need to be listening to the advice. That's wisdom, to listen to your godly friends. Don't laugh at it. Have you been simply rejecting God's wisdom? I hope not, but we can get to that point if we're not careful, where we just say, Lord, I don't want that in my life. Maybe you've just been forgetful of the wisdom that maybe you once had. There were times in school where I was really focused, I was really intense on my study, I was really intense in my Bible reading, and then 6 months later, I'd be like, you know what? I feel like I already learned what I just learned. I just must have forgotten that. Because I had drifted away and I hadn't been as faithful as I should have been at being diligent and constantly renewing my mind. That happens to us. So maybe we're just forgetful of where we have been and what we need to continue learning. Last question for us tonight. Have you been proud in your own wisdom, always assuming that you have all of the answers? And Karis is in the nursery tonight, but she knows my heart. Sometimes I'm so quick at this, where I say, and men, we're probably all this way, as husbands especially, we're like, you know what, I have the answer to the problem. Trust me on this. Sometimes we're right. Very often, though, we need to say, well, let's pray about that and talk through. This is something that I know I've been challenged with. Nathan, you don't have it. You don't have the answers. You may be on the right track, but go to the Bible, go to God, and make sure that what you are saying has been biblically informed. And so let's not assume that we have it all together. And so which of these ways, whether it's enticement with sin, whether it's just contentment with where you are, maybe laughing at advice or hating advice, or just being forgetful, or being prideful in our own wisdom. These are all responses that are saying, I don't want wisdom in my life. Some of them are harsher than others, absolutely. The rejection of wisdom, that's about as harsh as it can get towards God. But even forgetfulness of wisdom is something that Proverbs says, don't do that. Bind it to your heart. Have that close to you. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it are the issues of life. We constantly have to be so intentional in what goes in and what goes out of our hearts and our minds. And next week we'll talk about the proper way to heed wisdom and how to gain that and the blessings that come from that. And so we'll be encouraged next week. But let's start tonight by just saying, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to prepare my heart to then do the right thing? Because these are the things that we should not be doing as we approach this book of wisdom. Let's pray and ask God to be honest before Him, to be honest before ourselves, and that He would help us to see ourselves as we need to see us. Lord, we pray that You would search us, that You would try our hearts, Lord, that You would see if there be any wicked way in us. And Lord, we each know that there are ways that we can improve. Father, I pray that You would help me to deal with the ways that I need to be growing in wisdom. And Lord, for every person in this room, that personally, not for anybody else, but Lord, that they would start with themselves and say, Father, how can I, and what are the ways that I have been responding wrongly to wisdom? Father, we need Your grace. Lord, thank You that You are a compassionate God. Lord, that You are faithful to forgive us. And I ask that You would just keep working in our hearts tonight. I'm going to ask Mrs. Byford to start playing a simple hymn for us. You're welcome to just talk to God there in your seat. You're welcome to kneel there at the pew. You're welcome to come kneel at the front. But whatever way God has been talking to you in this service tonight, let's get it right with God. And let's say, Lord, please allow me to be in a place to receive Your wisdom.